quite often, but I'm reading a specific book on redemption, a study of redemption. And so I thought I'd share a few things about redemption because it's a great thing. So we'll start in chapter 1 of Corinthians, verse 26. And would you hand me a tissue? I don't know what it is, but every time I sit here, I have to sneeze once. Thanks. Okay, it says, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence." Wow, what a great verse that is. No flesh should glory in his presence because, as we're going to read on, we're going to see that no matter what you do in the flesh, in your life, in your physical life or your mental life, you can't attain salvation. You can't attain righteousness. You can't attain redemption or any of those things. And so, you know, there's no, you can't glory, or the flesh, meaning your body, your physical life, can't glory or boast in the presence of the Lord. Meaning, you know, hey, look how good I am. Look at all the great things I did. Look what I deserve, God. You know, it's not possible. It goes on to say, "But of him, of God, are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." So what it's saying here is if you're going to boast, if you're going to crow, if you're going to shout out, it's not what you did, but what Jesus Christ did for us and what God did for us. But we have a list of things God made unto us in Christ Jesus, wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And we used to think, and still do, I guess, we talk about these things as being sonship rights. You could call them birthrights, you know, new birthrights, you know, because you didn't have them before you got born again. The word right is kind of something that has been jumbled over the centuries and years and stuff like that. But back in the 1700s, when the founders of our country talked about rights, they talked about inalienable rights, or rights that God gives to people. And I don't know if it's really in the Bible or not, but he certainly has given us these rights when we're born again. It's in our DNA. When you're born again, the moment, the instant that you confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you have all these things and other things, right? So we can't glory or boast. Verse 30, it says, the working translation says, "However, from him you are in Christ Jesus, who has made not only wisdom from God to us, but also justness and sanctification and redemption." So that's what he's given us when we're born again. That's what we have. That's our spiritual DNA, or it's in our spiritual DNA. Let's go to Romans chapter 3. So we're going to look at redemption. What does redemption mean? Redemption means deliverance on account of a ransom paid. That's one definition. Or it's a deliverance from servitude and bondage. And that would be the servitude and bondage we are from sin. And it takes, to redeem something, takes a payment. Right? Takes a payment, whether it's a ransom or a cost. You know, if you ever went into a pawn shop, don't know if any of you have ever had the occasion to go to a pawn shop, or they're kind of interesting places to go to, and sometimes you can find some good deals. But if you need money, it's what they do is they loan you money on an item, like you have a diamond ring or a Rolex watch or something like that, and they'll give you a portion of the value. They never give you the full value, but they'll give you a portion of the value, and it's a short-term loan. And then if you have so many days or months, I think it's 3 months, to redeem that article. That's what they call it, redeeming. And then you have to go back and you have to pay back what you borrowed plus a fee, which makes sense, you know, like interest if you borrow money from the bank. So you have to pay that fee. That's redeeming. Or I remember when I was a kid, my mother used to get stamps at the grocery store. Do you remember those things? And then they had redemption centers where you took all your books and, a pile of books full of these stamps, and you could get a gift. It really wasn't a gift. It was an item that you earned because you saved all these stupid stamps. Anyway, chapter 3 of Romans, verse 21. It says, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." All have sinned, meaning all mankind. From the time that Adam sinned, everyone that was ever born on this earth has sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's a pretty all-inclusive, flat-out, clear, simple statement, right? For all have sinned, not most, but all. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, or they lack in before God. They just lack. Then it says in verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So here it says we are justified freely by his grace, by the grace of God, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So, although we fell short of the glory of God because we have sinned, we were born in sin nature, we are justified or made righteous freely by way of the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. If it's by grace, of course, it has to be free, right? That's what grace is all about. If we had to pay for it ourselves, then it wouldn't be free. And it's free because our redemption, our deliverance, our being given freedom was because of Christ paying the price. He paid the full and complete price to redeem each and every person that has ever lived from Adam till now and in the future till he comes back, if they believe, to redeem them from the bondage of sin and from sin nature. Pretty simple. When Adam sinned, we became slaves to sin. Right? He sold us out. Kind of. He sold mankind out. And Jesus Christ bought us back. Verse 25. Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith or believing in his blood to declare the righteousness or his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. So here this tells us a little more. It's the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, who God sent to be the propitiation. The word propitiation is an interesting word. We could say it means the payment, but it means more than that. And literally, that word really is the mercy seat spoken of in the tabernacle in the Holy of Holies, when the high priest would go in and he would slaughter the lamb, and then he would sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat to atone for the sins of the people. Okay? That's what it means. And so that's what Jesus Christ did for us. He was the lamb. And if we read in Hebrews, which we're not going to, it talks about how he was the high priest and the sacrifice for all our sins. And that's how he redeemed us. That's our redemption. What a cool thing when you think about it. If you think about all the things that God did for us and all the things that Jesus Christ went through to pay the price for us, to redeem us, and all that he's given us because we believed, we should be thankful. And we should be thankful all the time. We should be thankful no matter what else happens. We should be thankful. Then it says, it was by his blood, because he was the sacrifice, right? He was the sacrifice. That's what he paid the price with, his blood, for the remission, the washing away of sins. He totally eradicated our sins, past, present, and future, really, because we have forgiveness. And then it says in verse 26, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness or justness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Speaking of God, God is just and he is the justifier. And what does it mean to be justified? It's the same word that's translated righteous, right? When it says that we're justified, you could think, well, he made me righteous. Or if you see righteous, you could say he made me just or he justified me. So, you know, in the world where we live in, if you commit a crime or you break a law, you have to pay a price for it if you're convicted, right? If you get caught and you're convicted. And when you pay the price, then you are considered justified. You've paid the price, so then you have you've cleansed your record, so to speak. Doesn't really work that way in life, but technically that's what's supposed to happen. So then it says in verse 27, where is the boasting then? Remember we saw the flesh cannot boast or glory in his presence? Well, it says, where is the boasting then? Is it excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of believing. You know, we can't boast about what we did to get born again, because we didn't do anything to get born again except believe. And there's nothing indeed that we could ever do to pay the price so that we could get born again, so that we could be righteous or justified and sanctified. We could never pay that price of redemption. We could never redeem ourselves. You know, it's kind of interesting in the past, all the way back to antiquity and all the way through our history in America, slaves at times had the ability to buy their freedom. You know, they could work part-time on the side if they had the strength and the energy and the ambition to make money, save it, and buy their freedom. There's an island off the coast of South Carolina that is basically populated by all ex-slaves that had bought their freedom and settled on this island. And they have a community there still today. You know, it's 100 years old, more than 100 years old. Anyway, so, but we can't do that, can we? As far as spiritually, as far as God's concerned, we can't work part-time or full-time and save money up and buy our sanctification and our righteousness and our spirit. It's a free gift from God because Jesus Christ, the only one that could possibly do it, was willing to pay the price. What a cool thing. Let's go to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. And verse 11. It says, but that no man is justified or made righteous by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith or believing. We saw that alluded to in Romans. Righteousness or justness comes by believing in Jesus Christ. That's the only way you get it. And it's not by the works of the law. In the Old Testament, they could attain a slice of righteousness for a temporary period of time. You know, if they committed a sin and they realized that they could go and make a sin sacrifice and whatever else the law required, and, you know, when you did something wrong, it enumerated many things, like if you killed your neighbor's oxen by accident, then you had to pay him 20 shekels of silver. Or if you did this, you have to compensate, or you did that. There's a whole thing in the law about the cities of refuge. If you caused somebody's death, you could go there until it was adjudicated, and so on and so forth. But we cannot get righteousness, the righteousness of God. We cannot be made righteous. We are not sanctified. We are not redeemed. We get none of those things by works. Verse 12, and the law is not of faith or believing, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. You know, if you want to do the law, then you're going to be judged of the law, and you have to live according to the whole law. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. That's cool, isn't it? He redeemed us from the curse of the law. You know, Christianity, true Christianity is the only, I don't want to say religion, but it's the only way of believing, it's the only faith in the world that doesn't require some kind of work. They all require works. Even to the point of giving your life in sacrifice, you know, all kinds of things. If you're a Hindu, it's you know, you die and you come back in a different form. And if you get better, you go to a higher level and so on and so forth. And it could be generations and centuries, you know, and you have to do good works to move up the ladder. And if you do bad works, you go down the ladder. So, man, you imagine, you know, you come back three different times and you move up and all of a sudden you screw up and you go down four. Mm-hmm. That's hard work. Yeah. You know? But all religions, even Christian religions that don't stick to the Bible, they require works. They require doing something to attain righteousness and sanctification. Pretty crazy. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. It's a curse. It's a curse. Being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through believing. It's through Jesus Christ that we receive God's Holy Spirit. And we have to be righteous and justified to receive that Spirit. And we have the promises of Abraham. It says, those that believe in Jesus Christ, they are the children of Abraham. And we have inherited, part of our inheritance is the blessings of Abraham, which is really a great thing when you know about it. Let's go to chapter 4, verse 4. And remember, what is redemption? It's buying back. It's paying a price to redeem out of servitude or bondage. Verse 4. And you think to yourself, well, I wasn't in bondage. Well, yes, you were. You were. You were under bondage of sin. But when the fullness of time was come, verse 4, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And that word adoption means sonship or the placing of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, or a doulos, or a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God. And it says through Christ, but it should say through God. So, let's go to Titus chapter 2. I thought I had a verse in here, and we may run across it here. I forget which one it was, but it talks about, it says somewhere that we were sold under sin. You know, when you think about it, Adam sold us. He sold us out. When the devil made the offer to Eve, she took the offer to be as gods, right? And then she talked him into it, and it didn't quite work out. That's the first bait and switch ever. Titus chapter 2 and verse 13. It says, looking. Now, this is where Paul is talking to Titus, and he's telling him what he should teach to the people that he was ministering to. He says, and looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. He paid the price so that we were redeemed from all iniquity, all evil, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. And the word peculiar doesn't mean odd, but it means special, a special people. Jesus Christ gave himself so that he could redeem us from all iniquity, so that we could be a special people unto him. That's pretty great. Let's go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. And it says, verse 18, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition from your fathers. Speaking of, again, the law, they redeemed themselves from sin by giving gifts, by buying it with physical things. You know, they would sacrifice and they would bring gifts to the temple and so on and so forth. And he said, well, we weren't redeemed with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You know, in the Old Testament, they would sacrifice that lamb, they would shed that lamb's blood, and that would atone for the sin for that particular moment in time. But they did sacrifices in the temple daily, weekly, monthly, and on the special holidays and, you know, special feast times. And they had to do the Day of Atonement every year, where the high priest went in and atoned for the sins of the people. And then they had the Passover, and he went in for the Passover and atoned for the sins of the people. They were continually atoning for the sins of the people. But Jesus Christ atoned for our sins once and for all with one sacrifice, because it was a perfect sacrifice and it was a perfect payment. He paid the full and complete price. There's nothing left to pay. And so when we try to earn righteousness by doing stuff, we're paying over. You know, if you get a gift, would you go back to the store and say, I want to pay again for this? You'd be pretty stupid, wouldn't you? Yeah. So why do we do it with, you know, what we've received from God? Makes no sense. Let's go to Colossians. His precious blood. Precious means honorable or dear or costly. Think about that. Chapter 1 of Colossians, verse 12. giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet or adequate to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. We didn't make ourselves adequate, right? You ever, you know, see a story or read a story about, you know, people fighting over an inheritance and they try to make themselves look the best in front of the person that has all the money? There's a really cool movie with Kirk Douglas as an old man and Michael J. Fox, and this whole family's fighting over the inheritance, you know, and everybody's trying to figure out how they're going to get to the top rung, and this rich uncle is going to favor them. You know? We don't have to do that, do we? Because we have been made adequate, and God has given us all the same inheritance. We share equally in that inheritance with Jesus Christ. He has made us meet or adequate to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. You know, redemption means deliverance. And hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness or remission of sins. You know, it's through his blood. Again, that was the payment, that perfect, pure, unadulterated blood of Jesus Christ. He said he was without sin, right? He was without sin. He had pure blood. We are no longer under the power of darkness or evil, and we have been delivered into his kingdom. That's pretty great. You couldn't pay enough to get a ticket to get into that kingdom. Just nothing you could do to get there. And this redemption happens when? At the very moment you're born again. Now, God also speaks of another redemption that we receive in the future. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. So the redemption we have received is spiritual. You know, we have received Holy Spirit. We've been made righteous in the eyes of God. We're holy and without blame before him. In chapter 1, verse 7, it says, in whom, speaking of Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. You know, by God's wisdom and prudence, he's the one that figured all this out. He set up the plan of redemption. Verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation or the administration of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Speaking of what? The gathering together, right? In the future. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated or foreordained according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom also ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. When you get born again, you get Holy Spirit, and it says that we are sealed with that Holy Spirit, meaning what? We're God's. We belong to God. We can never lose it. We're going to heaven, and it's done, and we're sealed up. We're hermetically sealed, whatever that means. Stamp of approval. Stamp of approval, right. And then it says, which is the earnest or the token of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. So what does that mean? It means, you know, we have it all now, but when Christ comes back, we will be totally redeemed. We get a new body and we go to heaven. And that's the final part of redemption. Let's go to chapter 4. in verse 30. It says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." The day of redemption is when? The day that Christ comes back. So, you know, the price that he paid, not only paid for us to receive Holy Spirit and all the benefits that we have now, but also that we get the new body and we're forever with the Lord. See, what a great price he paid, and what a great redemption. We are saved, we're delivered from the bondage of sin. We are taken out, rescued from the powers of darkness. The devil no longer has any authority over us because of the price Jesus Christ paid. Okay? So, Father God, we thank you for that redemption. We thank you that we can just be thankful for all you've given us. What a wonderful God you are, and what a wonderful Son that you sent. That we have received so much because of his willingness and desire to please you and serve you and save us. So we thank you for this in the wonderful name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.